Father God, as we spend these next few minutes reflecting on your word, we pray that you will guide each one of us in our thinking. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to talk this morning about home. Some of you will know that Ruth, my wife, quite recently attended a conference organised by the Guidepost Charity for those with an interest in dementia. It was an excellent conference, and in fact I've put on the notice sheet the date of a similar event which Guideposts plan to hold in Whitney early next year, in case any of you are interested in going. But one of the things that Ruth learnt from the conference was that for many people who are dementia sufferers, the concept of home becomes increasingly important. Now, there are people here with a lot more knowledge and experience of mental illness than I have, but I am aware from such experience as I do have that home in this context is often not a physical building, even if they've lived in the same house for several years. Now, home is almost always looking back to a time where they felt secure and loved, some point in the past. Often it's a memory of childhood, of a childhood home that they mean when they're talking about going home, perhaps with a father and mother waiting there for them. And of course, it's not just those of us with dementia who look backwards to a better time. We all have a tendency to do it. For most of us, there are aspects of the past that we'd like to hold on to or to recreate. It happens in workplaces. It happens in family life. It certainly happens in churches where a vicar, I can tell you, regularly hears about something that worked well in another church in the past and which might well work well here. It happens. It's perfectly natural. But it isn't actually the Jesus way. Jesus calls us to live our lives in the present and to set our sights not backwards, but forwards, and particularly forward to our ultimate destination, to our real permanent home. Now, this doesn't mean that we forget what we have been or what we have learnt in the past. In many places, in Paul's letters, he encourages us readers to hold on to the truths which we have learnt from our parents, from our teachers, and indeed from our life experiences. These home truths, we could call them, are to give us strength as we move forward on our journeys, both our individual journeys and our shared journey as a church. But it is also important that we revisit these truths as we take the journey and apply them to where we are now, and to our perspective of where we are heading. Now, the phrase going home used to be very much part of the vocabulary of Christians. We find it in many of the Black American spirituals of the 19th century and in several of the Victorian hymns collected famously by Moody and Sankey. As I mentioned the other day when we had our Songs of Praise service, the hymn How Great Thou Art was originally written in Finnish and then translated into Russian. And when Stuart Hine translated it into English just after the Second World War, he added an additional verse, verse 4, which we'll be singing later in this service. A verse that begins, "When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart." And Stuart Hine was actually inspired to write this by his deep concern for the many Russians living in exile after World War II for fear of Stalin. But his immense desire for the repatriation of these people is combined with an expression of his confidence in our shared future with Christ. And it's a similar sentiment to that which often appears in the Old Testament, particularly the Psalms, where a return to Israel also has a spiritual dimension of returning to the ways and the presence of God. Returning home. Brendan has read to us this morning a part of what I always feel is a wonderful chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll have more of it next Sunday. It's a chapter written to inspire us as we look at the lives of many biblical characters who set out to follow the ways of God and who, despite difficulties of many kinds, held on to the promises of God. Life was difficult for them. They were misunderstood, they were mocked and vilified, but they held on. They kept the faith. Sometimes this alienated from those around them. There were things about their contemporary society to which they couldn't subscribe, values and actions which they knew were not part of the way of God for them. But as they travelled through life and through some of these difficult times, Abraham and the others, incidentally, we haven't read the Old Testament passage today, which is part of the story of Abraham, but if you haven't read it for a while, the reference is on the white reading sheets. Do go back home and reread the story of Abraham. It's one of the many great stories in the book of Genesis. But as I was saying, as these people travelled through life and through some of these difficult times, Abraham and others remained firm in the hope that inspired them. And that hope was home. As Brendan read earlier, they confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way, make it clear they are seeking a homeland. And in contrast to the aspirations of home, which I mentioned earlier in this talk, which were essentially about looking back to a perceived better time, Abraham and the others were looking forward. Their desire was for a better country, that is, a heavenly one, a city that God had prepared for them. As they lived out their lives, becoming more and more used to trusting God, so they became increasingly familiar with God's ways, and therefore could look forward with increased confidence to the day when they would see God face to face. As they lived out their lives becoming more and more used to trusting God, so they became increasingly familiar with God's ways, and they could look forward with increased confidence to the day when they would see God face to face. In the Gospel passage, which Liz read for us, Jesus is talking very much on the same theme. What he says follows on the thoughts that some of us were sharing last week when we read the passage about the man who had so much produce and so much wealth that he decided to knock down his barns and build bigger ones. But that night, he died, leaving his wealth behind. He couldn't take it with him. And the reading from Colossians that we had last week encouraged us to focus our lives on things that will last. And Jesus picks this up in today's reading when he says, "Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, are an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Jesus encourages us to live by the values of the kingdom of heaven, the values of home, now, if you like, to live by home truths. Jesus knew, as we all do, that there can only be a certain number of things that we can focus on in our lives and put our energy into, a relatively small number of the many things that we could choose to do, that we decide to make important to us, to make what Jesus calls our treasure. And his challenge to his followers and to us today is to examine what are the things that we treasure and to consider to what extent our priorities match up to his guidelines for unselfish, generous living, and to consider how much our lives are lived in the light of our love and obedience for God. Because it is this quality of living which will enrich our own lives and the lives of those around us. It is as we draw closer to God and his presence in our lives becomes stronger that we are equipped to make a difference. But Jesus also points forward in our thinking, our hoping, and our expecting to a time when we will experience the closest presence of God in an even more vivid way. He encourages us to live our lives in the light of this certainty, with his illustration taken from the contemporary wedding traditions, when he suggests that like a bridesmaid expecting the arrival of a bridegroom, we should be dressed for action with our lamps lit. And this encounter with the bridegroom will either be through our own death or through the return of Jesus to earth, something which Jesus refers to in today's gospel reading. Many of us have listened to sermons or read books which interpret these words of Jesus about coming back that Liz read to us as almost a threat, almost as though Jesus was saying to us, you better be on guard because I'm coming back. And certainly there is an element of advance warning in the words we've listened to this morning. But I much prefer to think of them in terms of Hebrews 11, as a promise of a fulfillment of the hope that we have on our journey through life, a promise of our ultimate arrival at the place, the home, that God has prepared for each one of us. And Jesus is urging us not to miss out, but to use our lives to draw closer to God in preparation for our arrival home. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And like Abraham, we're called to trust God and to learn to depend upon him as we make our journey through life, to live by home truths as we make our journey home. I'd like us to finish this morning, this section of the service, by just saying together the last part of the psalm, which you'll find printed on the readings sheet. So let's just read it together. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Indeed, our heart rejoices in him, for in his holy name we put our trust. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, as we have put our trust in you. Amen.